And let's open up our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 1, and verse 35. We're going to read through verse 37 for our text here this morning. Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. The title of the message this morning is Moving Forward in the Kingdom. And this will be part 1, and we will look at prayer as for this message this morning. Moving Forward in the Kingdom, part 1, prayer. Chapter 1, you see, closes with some things that the Lord does to advance the kingdom, to advance His work, His ministry, but that's the same thing as advancing the kingdom. And these are things that we too should be doing. Now, for Jesus, these things all happen very quickly. He, in the previous verses we've been looking at, we're dealing with a particular Sabbath day where he casts out a demon, and then once the Sabbath day concluded in the evening, people brought to him those who needed healing and others who needed demons cast out and so forth. So he had a very, very busy Sabbath day. And on the very next day, he begins doing these things that we're going to be looking at in the rest of this chapter. Let's read our text now, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. Let's pray. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us to assemble together, O Lord. I pray that every one of us have come here this morning with our hearts set on worshiping you, that we are turned towards you. And we ask, O Lord, that you would further enlighten us concerning your word and concerning your will. Help us to know these things. I just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the last verses here, from verse 35 through verse 45, we see that Jesus advances the kingdom through prayer and preaching and then cleansing. And we're going to begin today to look at prayer. And this may take us a couple of messages to do this, but we're going to start it today. I want us to consider some things here. Look back to verse 35 now, and we see that Jesus prayed at the beginning of the day before he did anything else. Verse 35 says, And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. In the morning, rising up a great while before day. There's a psalm, Psalm 5 and 3, verse 3 says, My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. We should start our day with prayer before we do anything else. How many days do you wake up with an attitude of, Good Lord, it's morning, whereas we should wake up every morning and say, Good morning, Lord? There's a difference in attitude there. Sometimes maybe you have a long day ahead of you. Maybe you've got to do something you're dreading to do. We should still start the day with prayer and with soft hearts towards God, where we are eager to go into His presence. That's how a believer should start their day. Now, for some, I know, I'm not a morning person. I'm not. I'm more of an evening person. It takes me a little bit to get going when I wake up. And you might say sometimes or most of the time I kind of drag out of bed, okay? But whether I'm a morning person or not, those first few minutes upon awakening, I should spend with the Lord. And I should have a heart eager to do that. I try to make it a habit to wake up praying. Now, I have a tendency sometimes to not be sleeping as well, you know, right before I get up. If I'm a usual day, you know, I get up at 5:15 in the morning, and usually I'm waking up before 5, really. Now, I may lay there still, but I try to use that time to pray to the Lord. That's when I usually make my petitions for my family and for my church family and lift you up before the Lord. It's a time that I try to spend just being there, being in the presence of the Lord, and trying to be close to the Lord. And I'll guarantee you, my day goes better when I do that. And yours will too, if you don't do that, already do that. We should, indeed, start our day with prayer before we do anything else. If we do that, here are some things that will happen. First, we will honor God first in our day. We are showing honor to God in prayer is the first thing we do for a day. Now, that's a great way to start the day. And I would say that's, you know, that it shouldn't be optional. That we should have a desire in our hearts to honor God that way. It's a way for us to show that He is first. It will help us to set our mind on God and on His kingdom. Now, I've found if I don't do that, I'm always thinking about what I've got to do the next day. Usually my day is pretty full of things that need to be done, okay? I'll wake up in the middle of the night thinking about those things sometimes. But I've found if I begin my day by focusing my attention on the Lord, then those things tend to have a way of just kind of falling into place. And more important than that, what I'm doing is saying, God, what you want me to do is more important to me than the things that I feel like I have to do today. Does that make sense? Those things being, you know, whatever listed of things I've got to do for the day. Doing what God wants me to do ought to be the most important thing on my mind. Now, if you are a list person or kind of a busy person that way, typically that list can overtake you. It'll become your master. But if you start the day in prayer, putting God first, then that He's your master. And that will help you keep a balanced perspective on your day. And I think that's important for us to do. It's so easy to get caught up, and we're going to get into this more in a bit, but so easy for us to get caught up in the busyness of our day. And it's almost as if we push God to the side and we just have to do what we got to do, you know? I'd much rather start the day and continue through the day and end the day in the shadow of my Lord than dominated by the day's events. Because I'll be more likely to see those opportunities that he's going to put before me to serve him during the day. Have you ever looked back on your day and thought, oh, you know what? I had an opportunity to share the gospel with someone. Or I had the opportunity to do something nice and help someone. That's serving the Lord. If we don't start the day with God first, we're not going to go through the day with God first. Usually. And if we do suddenly during the day want to put God first, it's usually because we suddenly need something. We need God to do something for us. So sure, we're going to make him first then. Why can't we start the day with our thoughts directed towards God? You see, that'll help us prepare to seek God's will for the day during the day. And that's what we ought to be thinking as believers. That's what we ought to be thinking as people who want to follow Christ. If we don't do this, if we don't discipline ourselves to do this, then what we're going to end up following during the course of the day is our own will, which is usually driven by our flesh, and thus won't be very pleasing to God. Starting the day with prayer will help us to ward off temptations that we might face during the day. If we take the time to settle in our minds, we know God is first in all things, whether we think it or not, he's still first, okay? What I'm talking about is settling our minds on that, reminding ourselves, and we need that. We need to be reminded of this. If we start this out with prayer, and we're thinking about God being first, that's gonna help us avoid some temptations that are going to come our way. And though we may not and probably won't avoid all temptations, what will happen when we do experience temptation is God's already first in our minds, and that'll help us to deal with those temptations. To deal with them by God's grace. And folks, we need that. We need that. We need that kind of a focus. It'll also help us to make sure that we are having an intimate fellowship with God throughout the day. If I wake up thinking about God and spending time in prayer with God, I'm more apt to continue to think about God as the day goes along. And we need that. We need that. We need to do that. Our walk through life ought to be first and foremost one of intimate fellowship with God. We have that through Christ Jesus. If you're not born again, you don't have that. You don't have that great privilege. That privilege of Jesus walking beside us wherever we go and being close to us. What we'll end up feeling like during the course of the day is that God is far away from us. Now, here's the problem with that. He's not. He's right there beside you always. But if we're not acknowledging that, if we're not thinking about that, if we're not walking in that, then our perception, because of sin, is going to be that God is far away from us. If you feel like God's far away from you, have you ever thought about just spending time alone with God? It does wonders. Prayer first thing in the morning is so very important. And I would add, and this would be a whole other message, but I would add that you also spend time in the Word before you do anything else in the morning. And that's my practice. I try to wake up praying. And now I'm not perfect about this, and I have, you know, bad days too. But by and large, my practice is I wake up praying, and then I spend time in the Word, reading a passage of Scripture. And boy, that just really helps to settle my mind. Now, that's not all that you need to do to make your day good, okay? But it's the best way to start the day. And that's what Jesus does here. Remember, he's been pressed by the crowds the day before. He's cast out a demon. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law. Others have come to him at the set of the sun to get him to heal people and whatever. And he's done all that. And finally, the crowds go away and they all go to the rest. They go to sleep. And then Jesus wakes up early to spend time with his Father in prayer. Have you ever wondered, what did Jesus pray for? What do you think he was asking the Father for? I think in part it was he wanted to know exactly what the Father wanted him to do that day. Because Jesus perfectly obeyed the will of the Father. Everything, the Scriptures say, everything that the Father told Jesus to do, he did. Everything the Father told him to say, he said. So I think that's part of it. What do you have for me today, Father? I think he prayed for strength. He is human. He's God, but he's human. And as a human, he needed strength. Because guess what's going to be knocking on his door that first thing that next morning? He stirred something up here now. The folks that couldn't get to him the night before, they're going to be there first thing that next morning, right? And he's going to need strength for that. So he gets up before any of that can happen, and he goes and he prays. Oh, how we ought to pray first thing. Second thing I think we ought to note from this, in that same verse, and in the morning rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. He was looking for a quiet place. Now, if you read Luke's account of this, you get the idea that he woke up early, and it was at daybreak that he left to go find this place. I think he left at that time because that's when other people probably were beginning to stir, and he just wanted to go be by himself in prayer. Folks, you ought to spend time by yourself in prayer. In a solitary place. You see, this world we live in becomes busier and busier and busier every day. We live in a world full of distractions. And these distractions will draw us away from God. The flesh craves this. The world demands this. And Satan is overjoyed by this. This distracting of people away from God. Note that it starts with you and me. Our own flesh craves to be distracted from God. The flesh doesn't want to be held accountable before God. The flesh doesn't want to do things that please God. The flesh wants to please itself. The world doesn't want us pleasing God and close to God. It's why the world does everything it can to separate us from God. And Satan certainly doesn't want us close to God. But we can fall into a cycle of distraction. And we need to break that cycle by spending time in solitude with God. Meaning we need to eliminate all distractions as much as we possibly can. The TV, radio, cell phones, the internet, whatever else distracts your focus away from God. Shut those things off. Get away from those things. Spend time in solitude. I know some people have prayer closets to help them with this. I don't know that you have to necessarily go that far, but you ought to be able to have a place where there are no distractions and spend that time with the Lord. And by the way, don't do all the talking. Learn how to listen to God. God will speak to your heart. He will. Learn how to listen to God. Learn how to draw from that peace that God provides by just shutting up and listening to God. As a parent and as a teacher, there are times when I had to direct my children, or I have to direct my class to be quiet and listen. Because they're not listening to what I'm trying to tell them. They may be pounding me with questions. Mr. Spradlin, what about this? What about that? Be quiet and listen. I'm telling you this. Hush. You know? And I think about how often I'm like those children with my God. Oh, what great patience God has with us. But there's a time for us to shut up and listen. Psalm 4, turn to that. We're going to look at a couple of psalms here. Psalm 4, turn to verse 3. Psalm chapter 4, verse 3. We're going to look at verses 4 and 5 also. It says, "But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." I want to share something with you. Maybe you've thought of this, maybe you haven't. It's mighty hard to put your trust in the Lord when you're telling him everything that needs to be done. How much of our prayer time do we spend with God telling God what needs to be done? God, do this, God, do that. We may say, please. We may try to be as respectful as we can as we address them. But we're still giving him our list of what we think needs to be done. We need to learn how to stand in awe of his presence. Have you forgotten? I do. But have you forgotten what a privilege it is just to be able to go to God in prayer? We can sure take that for granted. But it's a privilege, and one we ought to enter into with respect, with awe, with the fear of God. And not be so demanding. We need to learn how to trust in the Lord. There's nothing wrong with going to God and saying, "Lord, here's the situation. I need your help. I don't know what needs to be done. I'm not about to tell you what I think needs to be done. I just want to trust in you to take care of it. I want it to work exactly the way you want it to." And guess what? Everything in our life's going to work out just the way God wants it to. We just need to learn how to trust him that is the best way. I wonder how many times we've gone to God with a problem, and God resolves that problem. And if God resolves it, let me tell you something, that there is no better way for it to be resolved. That is the perfect way for it to be resolved. But how many times do we have a lingering sense of doubt that maybe the problem hasn't been fixed? And that probably because it wasn't fixed the way we thought it should be fixed. Do you ever experience that? I'm pretty sure I have. And then there's Psalm 46 and verse 10, one of my favorites in the Psalms. Psalm 46:10. If you haven't marked this one in your Bible, I urge you to do so. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. We need to stop doing things and just be still before God and know that He is God. You might be thinking, well, I do know that He's God. Well, I think this means know in a deep and intimate way that He is God. When I think about the things that discourage me or get me stirred up the most, it usually has to do with politics and the culture of our nation today. I can get fired up real quick over these Republicans and Democrats. And it does me good to be still and know that in spite of them, God is God. God is in control. They may be messing things up bad. And it just might make me mad what they're doing. But you know what? God's in control. He'll bring judgment if He wants to. He'll extend mercy if He wants to. He is in control. And that's where my trust needs to be. In God. In God. Trust in God. Be still and know that He is God. It'll do your soul good. Next thing, let's go on to verse 36 in our text passage. We read there, and Simon, that being Simon Peter, already taking a leadership role, just recently chosen to be one of the disciples, okay? But he's the one that's out there and, you know, a man of action. Not always the best thing, but a man of action, take charge. So when Simon and they that were with him followed after him. So what's happening here? Simon, the other disciples, wake up, and there's no Jesus. Where'd Jesus go? He's not here. And they're going to go find Him. I'm sure that as they wake up and they've discovered that Jesus is gone, I'm sure there were people knocking on the door wanting to see Jesus. Because the next verse tells us that they tell him, all men seek for thee. There are people looking for Jesus already. And they're going to go find him. And what does this have to do with prayer? Here's the point. Jesus prayed before the distractions came. And yes, Simon is going to be a distraction. He's needing Jesus. He's wanting Jesus. He wants Jesus to take care of these people that are knocking on the door. He's in a hurry, in a rush. And Jesus spent time praying before these distractions came. Now, we've already talked about the distractions that will interrupt with your solitude, okay? These distractions are those things that are going to happen during the day, whether you want them to or not. All right? They will be distractions to you. And we need to get prayed up before those things come. They're going to come your way. Count on it. Sometimes they're going to come from those who are closest to you, just like this case. I mean, Peter is will certainly become one of the most intimate of the disciples with Jesus. And here he comes. Not necessarily wrong, but here come the distractions. And if those closest to you will bring distractions your way, you can just absolutely count on the fact that your enemies are going to bring distractions your way. And the enemies of God will be bringing distractions your way. Turn to Psalm 109 now, verse 1. Friends and enemies will be bringing distractions your way. What do you need to do? You need to pray first before they get there. And then you need to keep praying. Psalm 109, verse 1. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. That'll happen to you personally. It's happening to believers culturally. As those who hate God speak out against us, as they say things like, the Bible isn't relevant anymore, they're speaking out against us. Verse 4. For my love, they are my adversaries. Now that word adversaries here is very interesting. Do you know what it means? You might know what the word adversary means, but this has a little bit more specific meaning. You could actually translate this word. In fact, it is the word for Satan. So you could read this for my love, your love of God. Okay? They are my Satans. Plural. Satan is a deceiver. He is a liar. He wants the exact opposite of what God wants. And he wants to manifest that in you, in me. And these distractions that come our way during the day, they're like Satan's, plural. So what must we do? The verse concludes with these words, but I give myself unto prayer. I cannot overstate the importance of prayer in the believer's life. We can't pray too much. We can't pray too long. We cannot pray and it not be important. Is prayer important to you? Is it important enough to you to carve time out of your day to spend with God? Is it important enough to you to begin your day talking with God and listening to God? If it's not, it ought to be. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're feeling like you're in need of a revival, if you're feeling like you're not as close to God as you ought to be, there's two big things you ought to check. One, is there some sin going on in your life that needs to be dealt with? But just as importantly, how much time are you spending close to God in prayer? I'm going to tell you, if we snuggle up close to God, we're going to feel His warmth and His peace and His presence. But if we're set to go through our day doing what we want to do, then we're going to find ourselves feeling like we are far away from God. Which one should mark our lives? Which one should be the big characteristic of our lives? Well, it ought to be that desire to spend time alone with God. Why don't we do it? Why aren't you doing it if you're not? If you are, praise the Lord. If you're not, repent and draw close to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank You for this time here this morning. And as we've spoken or read Your word and shared some thoughts about prayer, I just pray, Lord, that prayer would be rejuvenated in us, each one of us, oh Lord, as individuals and as a congregation, that we would not take it for granted, that indeed it would be one of the most important things we do every day. Lord, I pray that's the desire of our hearts. And if it's not, then, and if that's because someone has not been regenerated, I pray, Lord, that You would regenerate them. I pray, Lord, that You would lead them to Christ and lead them to follow Christ and make prayer a priority. I pray it would be a priority for every one of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. What number shall we sing?